We've certainly been enjoying our stay with you. I was thinking of the hymns, what we've been hearing thus far. Really, I wouldn't have to say anything. But you've heard the gospel. You've heard the entreaty to be saved. If you're not here tonight as a Christian, as one who's trusted the Lord Jesus, you've already heard enough to be saved. Wonderful thing to be saved. And those hymns were beautiful. I want to turn to Luke chapter 15. It's a familiar passage, but I'd like to once again speak on this passage. You know, the Lord Jesus was called different names. He was called a Samaritan. That was a real racist name for a Jew. You really put a person down if you called him a Samaritan. They said, he's got a demon. That's pretty strong language, too. But his Jewish enemies also said, he's the friend of sinners. How low can you get to be the friend of sinners? That's what they called him. And you know, he didn't deny it. He gloried in that fact. And let's start reading chapter 15 and verse 1. All the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, goes after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, seek diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land. He began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I'm going to stop with the reading there. I was reading from the New King James Version. They're critical of him, because they say he's receiving sinners, tax collectors. Tax collectors then didn't have very good reputation. Sometimes they don't today. But that day, they were at the bottom. The Jewish people regarded them as turncoats. They had sold out to the Roman government and become their agents and were collecting taxes, and any amount they had over what they had to pay Rome was theirs. So there was a lot of dishonesty, a lot of using their own people to line their own pockets, and they were hated. Sinners. This included harlots. It included those who were drunks. These were the people that were at the bottom. And the Pharisees said, "We don't understand it. He's supposed to be a good man. He's supposed to be a prophet. He's supposed to be a teacher. People are following him, and he hangs around with people like that. He will receive them. If they come to him, he will receive them." You know, there are a lot of church people that's really sort of like that today. I remember once a man who had turned to the Lord in jail, and he was going to get out. He said to me, "Don," he said, "I'm going to be released pretty soon." He looked me right in the eye and he said, "You know, I'm a felon. I've put in time in prison, and I've had my problems." He'd been into drugs and liquor, and he said, and he looked me in the eye, he said, "If I came to your church, would I be accepted? Would they accept me? Knowing what I've done, knowing the kind of life I have lived, would I be accepted?" I could look him in the eye and say, "Yes, you would." I couldn't say that for every church in our city. I think there are some churches that would say, "Well, you know, in view of the way you've lived, you're a sinner, and we're good people here. We're respectable, we've had good jobs, and we've been family people, and you've been a sinner. I don't think you're welcome here. Why don't you find a little church down on the corner that caters to people like that?" Jesus was called the friend of sinners. And he said, you know, God has a heart for sinners. Just because someone has fallen into sin and begun to destroy himself doesn't mean God gives up. God is the friend of sinners. I don't know all of you folk here tonight. I don't know how you've lived. Some of you have lived good lives, maybe, comparatively good. Maybe you have to say, "I've never done drugs, never been drunk in my life. I don't even smoke. Gone to church a lot." But I'd like to say to you, unless there's been a time when you received the Lord Jesus as a lost sinner on your way to hell, you too are a sinner. Because those aren't the only sins. Those aren't the only sins. Now, Jesus told three stories here to make his point. The first one, he talks about a man who has 100 sheep. One of them goes astray. What does he do? Does he give up on it? You might say, well, the stupid sheep, why did it leave? Why did it leave the flock? Why did the sheep get in trouble? And sheep have a tendency to wander. Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The Lord's laid on him the iniquity of us all." All we like sheep have gone astray. A tendency of sheep to get lost. The tendency of sheep to wander. And when they do that, they get in trouble. And it's also true that sheep are very influenced by the flock, the herd. If one sheep goes in a certain direction, the others will all follow. They have a big slaughterhouse where we are. Some of our Christians work there, meat processing plant. Have one section, it's a lamb section. And they'll truck in these lambs by the truckload. But then the question is, how do you get them up into the kill floor where they're going to be slaughtered? And it's very simple. They have a goat that they call a Judas goat. And this goat is trained. He will get up at the beginning there of the entrance into the kill floor, and the sheep are behind him. He starts moving right up the passageway up to the kill floor. the sheep begin to follow him, and the whole flock will just go headlong right after that one Judas goat. When he gets up to the kill floor, he turns off. The sheep keep going to their death. So prone just to follow. You know, there are a lot of young people get into trouble because they go with the crowd. They're with a group of young people, and one of them has a joint of marijuana and says, "Come on, smoke it. Don't be a sissy. Don't be chicken. Won't hurt you. You'll get high. It'll be an experience you've never had before. Try it. Go ahead and try it. Try drugs once. And the first time, it's always free. After that, they begin to charge you. But the first time, it's free." Now, many times, young people start doing something because of the pressure of the group. Things they said, "I would never do that." But they're in the group, everybody's doing it, and just like a sheep, they follow the crowd. Get lost, really lost. We're so like sheep. I'm amazed sometimes at how influenced we can be by the people around us. Crowds are like that. And it can be a very dangerous tendency and a very fatal tendency. And I've worked a lot with those who had drug problems and alcohol problems. And usually they start because of the influence of their peers, their friends, the people they're with, get them started into this pattern of behavior. And it can be so destructive. But just like sheep, they follow the crowd. Now, something else that's true about sheep is they're very vulnerable. Out where we live, they have big cattle ranches and that, and cattle are left to fend for themselves most of the year. Cowboys don't ride around herding them all the time. You know, if you think that's what cowboys do, they don't. They're mending fences and doing other things most of the year. They're not herding cattle. Cattle take care of themselves. They don't have to worry about coyotes with cattle. They're big enough to handle themselves, protect themselves. You only use cowboys really if you're going to round them up, if you're going to brand them, if you know it's calving season or it's time to send them off to market or whatever. They take care of themselves. You don't do that with sheep, not in our country anyway. They need a shepherd. They're very vulnerable. Remember once being on a hike up in the mountains, and I came on a flock of sheep that was up very high. They were feeding them for the winter pasture up around 13,000 feet. And as I came near, it was early in the morning, I was making an early climb, and as I came near, a huge white dog rushed out at me, a big Pyrenees white dog, and as they oftentimes do, this was one of their guard dogs to guard the sheep. And the shepherd was there. He had his tent up, and he was living with the flock up there at this high altitude. But the dog came rushing out, and he made it very clear to me, "You're not going to come near this flock. You stay away." He was guarding the flock. Sheep need to be guarded. They're very, very vulnerable. Scripture says the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the sinner is very vulnerable. The sinner can get away, he can drift, he can get into the wrong company, he can be destroyed by the devil, and the devil is a destroyer. Oh, the devil's a destroyer. How sad to see lives being destroyed by sin. But that's what happens to sheep. They wander, they become they're very vulnerable. They get into a position where the devil can actually destroy them very, very quickly. So the Lord says it's a wonderful thing when a sheep is found. The shepherd rejoices. I'd like to say to you tonight, if you're here and you're lost, there's someone looking for you. There's someone looking for you. The Lord Jesus is concerned for you. The Lord Jesus loves you. The Lord Jesus cares for you. Regardless of how far you've wandered, he really cares for you. That's good news. Now this shepherd went out into the mountains looking for the sheep. He may have endangered his life, but he didn't lose it. But the Lord Jesus, in order to find you, in order to rescue you, lost his own life, gave his life on the cross in order that you might be saved. That's how much a shepherd cared. What a wonderful shepherd we have. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I hope you've come to know him. If you have, you can say there's been joy in heaven when he found me. The second parable he tells is about a woman with 10 coins. She loses one coin. One of the things that this parable, I think, illustrates is that we who have the care of souls should be watchful. We need to do all we can to guard, to care for those souls that are in our custody, in our care. The coin didn't wander off. The sheep did. The coin was lost. It was her carelessness. She just didn't keep her eye on her money the way she should. She wasn't as careful as she should have been. And as a fellowship, you know, you have to watch your young people growing up, and you have to be concerned, and you have to, elders as shepherds here, have to watch lest they get lost. Somehow, they drift away, and they get lost. And so as those with a care, we need to do all we can to be sure that these souls that we have contact with and the care of, we do all we can to see that they don't get lost. Something else that this parable illustrates is that sinners have tremendous value. Now, these were silver coins. They weren't like our small change. These were coins of real value. And one of them was a tremendous loss. The coin had value. And Jesus would say, every sinner has value. No matter how far down he's gone, he has value. We have to realize that. We never want to despise a person regardless of what he's done. He has value. I remember a girl once, we had a baptism by a lake, and this girl who was a girl about 18 years of age gave her testimony before she went down in the water. And she told of how she'd gotten away from her parents, gotten into drugs, and living a loose life in every way. And she said, I got to the point where I thought I was no good. She said, people told me I was no good. And she said, I just figured I was no good. So that it didn't matter whether I used drugs or got drunk or slept with a different guy every night. Nothing mattered anymore. I was no good. But she said with tears as she stood there, she said, I know I am worth something. Christ died for me and I'm worth something. And it came home to her heart. I have some value. I am worth something. And we have to communicate that to people, because you can get to the place where you've gone so low, the devil says you're no good, and you begin to believe it, and you think God will never have anything to do with me, and there's no hope for me, and so I may as well just get drunk and forget it. There's no purpose to life, there's no meaning to life, and I'm no good. The Lord says, yes, you're good. There's value there. Even though the coin is defaced and marred, there's value there. I made you. You were made in the image of God. And you're messing yourself up, but there's still value there. And the Lord says, put yourself in my hands and I'm going to redeem you and remake you. A new creation. There's value there. We have to remember that when we look at sinners. Sometimes I work with people that are repulsive, naturally speaking, because I do quite a bit of jail work. And you talk to some people and you think, wow, I don't even know if I want to be around that person. Some of the things he's done. I remember starting to visit a young man who was 18, and I heard his story. He with another fellow had shot his stepfather to death. They shoved the body in the back of the car. They took it up in the mountains. They dug a shallow grave. They buried him, and it was discovered. And here he is in jail. He's facing charges for murder. Shot to death his own stepfather. The whole family was drug using, and it was a rough kind of a family. But I looked at him, 18 years of age, long-haired, sullen look in his eyes. He was bitter. He was angry. His stepfather had abused him. He was out to get even with him, and he killed him. When you look at a murder, you think, there's a fellow that's been pretty bad. Especially with deliberate murder. This wasn't a crime of passion. He planned it, thought about it a long time, and finally executed it. But as I looked at him, I had to say, Lord, help me to feel compassion for him. Help me to love him, because you love him. Help me to realize he has worth. You didn't die for him because he was worthless. You died for him because he's like that coin that's lost. We look at the sinner and we have to say, Lord, help me to look at him the way you do and to have compassion. The sinner has value. On this island here, you have some people that are not living as they should. It's a beautiful island. You have a Christian population, but I've been here long enough to know there are sinners here, to know there are some that have drug problems, to know there are some that have drinking problems, to know there are families that have difficulties, to know there are families that have gone through divorce, to know that there's sin on this island. We have to have compassion. We have to say these people have value. We may abhor some of the things they've done, but they have value. We have to say, Lord, help us to have compassion and love. So the woman looked for the coin until it was found. And Jesus said, that's the way I am. That's why I'm a friend of sinners. I go after them like a woman who's lost the coin because they're worth something. They're worth something. When I'm through working with them, they'll be worth a lot more, much more beautiful. Then he tells a story about the boy who leaves home. The boy who's a rebel. And here in this parable, he emphasizes really, I think, the free will and the rebellion of man. In many ways, this is the most ugly of the stories. Free will is an awful thing in a way. It's a kind of a fearful thing. To look at people, to look at children as they're growing up, and to realize they have choice. And they may choose what is right. They may choose what is wrong. As parents, we look at them in their innocence and in their infancy and we have no idea what the future holds for them. And some of us have known heartache with some of our children. Jesus himself knew heartache as he looked at Judas, who lived with him 3.5 years and was like, like a child, you could say to him. Certainly a follower of him. And he knew real heartache as he saw Judas turn away. I don't think he ever felt happy or at ease with Judas' decision. I think when Judas turned away and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the heart of Jesus ached. It all worked out in God's plan, but he loves sinners. Jesus loves Judas. This boy rebelled. Now, it doesn't say it was his father's fault. It doesn't say it was his mother's fault. It doesn't say it was the older brother's fault. It It says when he got up in years, he just said, I'm tired of the rules of this household. I'm tired of my dad's authority, and I want out. I want to live my own life and do my own thing. I'm tired of having the old man tell me what to do. I don't want rules in my life. There's a big world out there. I got to make my own choices, be my own man, and find out what is out there for myself. And so he went to his father, and a very impudent way, really, to go to the man and say, look, when you die, Dad, you know I'm going to get a share. I'd like it right now. You're not dead, but give it to me now. And the father didn't try to stop him. He didn't try to hold him. He didn't argue. I think he just kind of realized he's going to have to learn the hard way, maybe. He gave him the share he would have of the inheritance. And the boy packed up his stuff, and he says, I'm out of here. And he left. And as he left the house, he left a father whose heart was breaking. But I think as he left, he had a tremendous sense of relief. And it's exhilarating when you're young to feel, I don't have any rules. I can do whatever I want. And to feel you're free from all restraints. You know, if you're in the service, I spent several years in the service. You see a lot of young fellas that live pretty straight lives at home. Then they get away, and they're away from home. Hundreds, thousands of miles away from home. No relatives around to gossip about them or know what they're doing. And you see some of them who've lived pretty straight lives, and boy, they cut loose. And they begin getting drunk and chasing women and doing everything else, just no rules, see? Nobody to check up. But God. So he goes his way. Goes to the far country. He has a lot of friends at first. A lot of friends at first. You got money, you got friends. Go down to the bar, you know, buy drinks around. Everybody's your friend. He had a lot of women friends, too. Got money. There are women out there that say, hey. And so his older brother says, he devoured your living with harlots. He wasted your money on women. And the father didn't deny it. He was living, he thought, really living. But the money ran out, and his friends left him, and he began to be in want, didn't have enough food. He went out to get work, ended up feeding pigs. That's at the bottom for the Jew, who wasn't supposed to eat pork, have nothing to do with pigs. But while he was there, it says he came to himself. Began thinking. See, he hadn't been thinking for a long time. Just living on his emotions. He hadn't really been thinking rationally, sensibly. And when you're in a life of sin, you're not thinking right. You follow the devil and you're confused because he's the father of lies. You're not going to have your head on straight if you're listening to the devil. You're going to be confused. You're going to be making wrong moves. You're going to be making wrong choices. You're going to be destroying yourself and your life. And if you're ever going to be saved, you've got to get to the place where you begin to think. He did. He looked at himself and he says, what am I doing here? This is crazy. I don't have enough to eat. I left my father's house. Plenty of food, wonderful place to live. And he says, here I am, I'm starving to death. He says he came to himself. You have to come there before you're saved. I don't care what kind of life you've lived, even if it's been rather good life, you have to come to the point where you realize you're lost. You're lost. You made wrong choices. You haven't turned to the Lord. You haven't followed the Lord. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You begin to think. And you begin to think about where you are and where this is going to lead you. And this boy says, if I keep staying here, if I keep trying to live this way, I'm going to die. It's going to be the end. He came to himself. I wonder if you've ever come to yourself, if you've ever realized I'm a lost sinner, if you've ever realized, you know, I'm on the verge of hell. If I go on this way, I'll be in hell forever. Or you may say, I haven't been a very bad person. I've really lived a pretty good life. And, you know, I don't think I need to think that way. Oh, the devil has you fooled then. No one is good. There's none good but God. And you're a sinner. We're all sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We all need to be saved. This young man came to the point where he said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back. Going to humble myself. I went away with my shoulders back and my head up and defying my father and saying goodbye. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned. I've been all wrong. I'm coming back humbly. I want your forgiveness. Look, I want your authority in my life. Make me like one of your hired servants. I'll do anything you say. I need your authority. I need you in my life, Father. I'm coming home. That's what the sinner does when he's saved. Comes to the point where he says, I'm tired of living my life the way I've been living it. I'm tired of resisting your authority, Lord. I want to put myself under your authority. I'm going to trust you to forgive me and take me back home. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come back to the Father and just said, you know, I've been a rebel and I've been wrong and I've been a sinner and I acknowledge it, I'm a sinner, forgive me. And you know, along with that, as we come with trust and faith. He would never have come back to the Father if he felt the Father would never have me again. But even when he was furthest away from him, he knew his Father loved him. Even when he was getting drunk, sleeping in the arms of a harlot, he knew, down deep in his heart, my Father loves me. I hope you realize that tonight. God loves you. God loves you deeply. God wants you to be saved. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. There's forgiveness for you. And I hope tonight that you, as this young man did, will just say, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to the Father. I've been away too long. I've been lost too long. Some of you have been here. You've heard the gospel time and again, but you've never taken that step. You've never made that decision. It's time you did it tonight. You've waited too long. The boy came to himself and he says, I'm going to go back. He got up from feeding the pigs. He humbled himself and he started on the road back. And the happy ending is the Father was there waiting for him. The Father embraced him. The Father forgave him. The Father restored him. There's a happy ending to that story. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Tonight, you know, I would plead with you because there are some of you here that may have heard the gospel time and again and you haven't moved. You're still sitting there by the pigsty feeding pigs. And you need to move and say, I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to make that choice. I'm going to say that tonight. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I've been away too long. And maybe you're here as a Christian and you've wandered away. You're not as close to the Lord as you should be. There are things you're not doing you ought to do. Maybe you've accepted the Lord. You've held back from really obeying Him. Maybe you know, I ought to be baptized, and you haven't been baptized. You know you ought to be here with the Christians on the Lord's Day morning, breaking bread, remembering Him. He said, just do in remembrance of me. You aren't doing it. You're not submitting to the Father's authority. Tonight you ought to say, Lord, I'm tired of being a rebel. I want to submit. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm coming back. I'm putting myself under the Father's authority. The Lord wants to restore you too. It's a wonderful thing to come back to the Father. Oh, that boy, when he came back, and he felt the Father's arms around him, I imagine the tears were running down his face. Unbelievable that after what I've done, my Father loves me. My Father's heart embraces me. And Jesus said, that's the kind of God we've got. That's the kind of Father. Tonight, if you're not a believer, if you've never had that experience of turning away from sin and turning away from your rebellion and just in simple faith coming to the Lord Jesus, coming back to the Father, you know, I would plead with you to do that tonight. Just where you are, just say, oh Lord, been away too long. Been away too long. I want to come home. I want to come back to the arms of my Heavenly Father. Let's pray. We'll just be quiet a minute. Maybe you'd like to pray quietly from your own heart. Maybe you're a Christian. You say, I've been kind of away. I haven't been living as I should. I'm not doing things I know the Father wants me to do. Be good tonight to say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be obedient to my Father. And if you've never come back home, the Father's waiting for you. The Father's waiting for you to say, I've sinned. I want to come home. I want to receive Jesus. May the Lord help you to say that from your heart. Father, tonight we thank you for each one who's here. Thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for the gift of the Lord Jesus, for your patience, for your love for sinners. Pray tonight that if there's someone here who doesn't know you, oh, that their heart might accept the Savior tonight. Return to the Father. Turn away from that pathway of rebellion and self-will. And just in simple faith, accept this Lord Jesus. Help them, Father. Oh, help them. We pray that your Spirit will just trouble and draw the hearts of sinners to yourself. We thank you for your love. Thank you for looking for us when we were wayward and going our own way. Thank you for giving Jesus to die for us. We didn't care at all for you. Lord, we thank you tonight. And so help sinners, we pray, just in simple faith to turn and to return to the Father and to accept the Lord Jesus. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll go to the back, and if any there would like to talk with me afterwards, I'd be glad to talk with you. And Brother Don will be up here at the side, I'm sure. If you're not saved, you'd like to be saved, you'd like to come to the arms of the Father, you know, we would encourage you, don't leave this place without making sure that you're saved. May the Lord help you to do that.